It's really high time that we understood that our job is not to condemn anybody for anything ever. Ever. We're just to keep on showing love. Because when you think about it, in order to condemn someone, you would have had to have judged them. And we know what God has said about that. But as we were praising and worshiping and ministering and being ministered to this morning, God gave me a couple of things. One, would you go please to Malachi 3? Because we're still talking about living the consecrated life. And last week, we talked about not changing God's equation. And today we're going to talk about, the title he gave me was Separate, Not Equal. Separate, Not Equal. And he told me to start with Malachi 3:18. In the New International, it says, you will again see the distinction, say distinction, between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The New Living says, then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. And the God's Word translation says, then you will again see the difference. So we have, you know, we started out, we have distinction, we have difference between those who serve God and those who don't. So God is saying, look, folks, there should be a distinct difference between my people and everybody else. And it should be easy to see. No one should have to study you to find out. It should be obvious to Stevie Wonder that we are God's children. It should be that obvious. But it's not. It's not. God said to me while I was sitting, he said, the process has to be equal to the conclusion. That's what he said to me. The process has to be equal to the conclusion. And it's because I was just running, you know, through my head last Sunday. We were talking about God's perfect equation, which is man plus God equals being fruitful, multiplication, blessings, and all of those good things. Well, if we want that conclusion, our process has to be equal to it. Everything we do should equal that conclusion. Everything. And in order to do that, God said in Leviticus 20, we have to sanctify ourselves. That means we have to separate ourselves. We have to set ourselves aside and be holy. And be holy. See, so it's not enough to just separate. You have to do something. And that something he expects us to do is to be holy. He said in verse 8 in Leviticus 20, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. It means you're going to remember them, but you're going to do them. You're not just going to put them on the shelf and know where they are. You're going to actually do them. He said, I am the Lord which sanctifies you. He said, I've already set you apart. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, he knows the thoughts he has for us. Some translations say he knows the plans that he has. So since he knows the plans and we don't, we should stick with what he says. Because what he says is designed to bring about his plan. He said, well, I don't know what his plan is. Yes, you do. It says his plan's to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and an expected end. Whose expectation? His. He wants to give you what he expects for you. But we have to allow it to happen. We have to allow it. We talked about how God, well, I'm just going to go through this because I'm a little excited. Okay. Because he's told me so many different things. I have such a good time when I'm preparing. It's different than just personal reading. It really is. And so, you know, maybe you want to just sit down and plan out lessons if you just want to teach them to yourself, because you'll just get such a different revelation when you're studying to teach, because he gives you different insights and you just get excited about it. But we know in Genesis where God said he made man after his image and after his likeness. And when we say it that way, we're really not giving it the full emphasis, because it wasn't just God, it was the entire Godhead. And we don't understand that residing in us is the full power of the Godhead. Because he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. We have to understand what that means. That his image, his character, his instincts, his thoughts, his power is all, that's how it made it. It's all in us. And he did it that way because he wasn't planning on having to recreate the earth again. He did it. The earth became void. He recreated it. And he said, I'm not going through this again. No. I have to have my visual presence controlling things here on this earth. So I'm going to create this being. And that this being is going to be just like us. And he's going to have all of our power, all of our authority. And his job is to keep this earth exactly the way I made it. But something happened. Adam and Eve changed the perfect equation. They changed it. They added two components that were not designed to be added to the equation. Choice and self. They added that to God's equation, and the equation changed. They started considering themselves, and instead of sticking with what God said, they made a choice to go with what would be pleasing to self. And when you change the equation, the conclusion also changes. And we don't think about that. We don't think about that. I've said to you many, 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 many times about our oldest son, and I tell him, Greg, you never understood the principle behind 2 + 2 = 4. And every time I said, he said, Dad, you always say that to me. I know 2 + 2 = 4. I said, I didn't say you didn't know it. You don't understand it. Because you have two, you keep adding two, and you're upset because you want 10. But you keep adding two. If you want 10, you have to add something else to it. Well, finally, he got it. But he wasn't understanding that the process had to equal the conclusion. And his process wasn't equaling the conclusion that he wanted. So you have to do something to the process. And so when Adam and Eve made their choice to insert themselves into God's perfect equation, the whole makeup of the world changed. Went from peace to chaos. They didn't even recognize themselves. And when they looked at each other, the first thought was, we got to cover these bodies. Never bothered them before. Because all they saw was the glory of God. All of creation, all they saw was the glory of God. They changed the equation. Now they see these two beings they have never seen before. Some of the animals decided, well, we'll still be their friends. And others decided they look like lunch. Okay? And so now you have the world, the ground being cursed. Adam saw things growing out of the ground that he'd never seen before. He never had to pull any weeds. He never had to do that. Now he has to work. Now he has to toil. Now things are not cooperating with him. As I said, well, animals are taking on the nature of the new boss, and they're becoming deceptive and predatory. And Adam and Eve, they get put out. They get evicted. And now they have to suffer physical death. They no longer have access to the tree of life. They didn't think about that. They didn't consider God. They considered self. They changed the equation. The equation is man, God, period. Man filled with God, you get what God wants. Man filled with God and get something different. When you think about it, what you fill your natural body with will ultimately start affecting that body. It will. It will. You keep putting chocolate by the pounds into your body. Eventually, your body's going to start to crave nothing but that. It's going to want it. And it may even start reacting to it. It may say, you know what? Start having pimples pop out on the face. Okay? Now, let some decay start growing. And you're like, what's going on? All of a sudden, you can't seem to calm down. You always seem to be on edge. When you get on edge, you think you need another piece of chocolate, you know, to get going. Why? Because it's starting to affect you. And you don't realize it. You think it just tastes good. Well, it does. Okay. But everything that tastes good is not necessarily good for you. But God said, I have this equation. I'm going to create this being, fill him with the Godhead, and he'll be fruitful, he'll be blessed, he'll multiply, he'll replenish this earth, he'll keep it under control, he'll have dominion over everything, because everything, when they look at him, is going to see me. Everything that hears him will be hearing my voice. And everything listens to me. So if they listen to me, they'll have to listen to my man. But his man changed the equation. And so God is telling us to get it back, we're going to have to separate ourselves. We're going to have to come out. Look at go to 2 Corinthians. Might as well go there. He just shot me there, so we might as well go there. 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start at verse 14 because we want to get the complete thought. We're going to focus on verse 17. It reads, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has he that believe with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Who's saying this? Verse 17, wherefore, because of what God has said, what did he say? He said, I'll walk in them, I'll dwell in them, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Because of that, God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God is letting us know that there should be an obvious difference. His people should stand out from those that don't, that are not his people. And his people are going to have to use the same thing they use to create the mess, to get out of the mess, choice. They're going to have to choose to walk away from all this worldly nonsense and be separate. And be separate from it. And touch not anything that is unclean. That's where we miss it. That's what connects us. That's the bungee cord that connects us to the world, where we pull away and we just keep getting pulled back in. And so if God is coming and he wants to see his people and he's looking, it's like he's looking at that cartoon strip I always reference, Where's Waldo? He's not going to take the time to carefully study to see, where's my people? And he's not going to say, where they at? I know they're here somewhere. No, he expects to look and say, they're over there. Why? Because they're not part of this stuff. They're not part of it. He wants us to be separate. Separate and not touch anything unclean. Like, oh, I don't touch anything that's unclean, Pastor. No, I wouldn't do that. Well, let's think about it. What's unclean? What do you consider to be unclean? Well, what do you consider to be ungodly? See, when we think about that, we think about the obvious stuff. You know, we think about the big stuff. That's what we think about. What about the things? Remember now, the enemy is deceptive. That's why you have some animals that are predators, that they catch their prey by deceiving. By deceiving. You'll have fish, this fish, that looks like a rock. And he'll sit there for hours. Another little fish will come and say, oh, nice little rock. That's all he gets out, because by the time he gets close enough, he gets consumed. It didn't look like it was any danger. It looked like a rock. That's deceptive. But we encounter those types of things every day, and they reel you in, and you don't even realize it. For example, I wasn't thinking about this one before. It just popped in. The Golden Girls, that television program. You're like, come on, the Golden Girls? Well, let's think about it. Think about some of the things that happen on that program. And we laugh about it. And we think it's cute. Start reeling in. He's not going to start you off with the hardcore stuff, because he knows you'll reject it. He's going to come. Doesn't it say that the serpent was more subtle? That hasn't changed. He's more subtle. He's going to come in with little stuff. That's okay. Guys, he's going to come at you with Monday Night Raw. Think it's okay. It's wrestling. I know, it's only wrestling. It's acting. We know it's not real. Right. So first they start. Then they first start adding profanity. Again, not hardcore profanity. Just borderline stuff that could be, couldn't be, depending on where you are. And they make it fun. They make it fun. Then they start using other terminology that has dual meanings. And you laugh and you use the same thing and you walk around and you mimic it. Then they started beating up their bosses. You know, they deserve it. Oh, really? And I thought it was interesting because right after that happened, must have been about 20 years ago, then you started seeing more and more instances of employees assaulting their employers. Subtle, it's subtle. Starts out, you just, that was just, wheeling in. And the interesting part about it is, usually when you catch a fish, it's fighting. It doesn't want to be caught. We're like, okay, come on. We're not even putting up a good fight for it. Then they introduce divas. What does divas have to do with wrestling? So then you start watching the program, because you don't want to see the bouts anymore. You want to see the divas. And you want to see them fight. Okay. You get reeled in. Then they get you to start buying the WWF books with the calendars of the divas in them. So you start looking. Oh, I'm just looking at the date. It doesn't take 2 hours to find out what today is. Okay. And the next thing you know, you're looking at pornographic magazines now because it's the same thing, different name. You've been reeled in. What? You were touching the unclean and calling it fun. Calling it fun. And so you're no longer separate. You're now part of the bunch and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. He said, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows you enjoy what you're doing. That's where your heart is. You have filled yourself with that and not him. So you craving what you've been filled with. And you want more of it. More and more and more. And as you go after it, you're going further and further and further away from God. And we're letting society at large dictate how we're supposed to dress, how we're supposed to feel, how we're supposed to date, how we're supposed to eat, how we're supposed to apply to college, how we're supposed to choose our career. And we're not even considering God. We're as guilty as Eve was. The Bible says when she saw that the tree was pleasing to the eyes and good for food, and a tree desired to make one wise, didn't say, but then she remembered what God said. Didn't even consider it. See, look, hey, all this stuff is good. It's going to make me feel good. It's going to make me feel better. I'm entitled to this. I mean, I'm in charge. I have this. I got this. It's under control. I got this. She got it all right. And look at the conclusion. Well, the same thing happens with us. We start wondering. We start listening to the words that come out of these young people's mouths, and we wonder what's wrong with them. And I'm always thinking, that's learned behavior. Where did they learn it? And the obvious villain, the safe villain, the villain that doesn't cause one to do a self-assessment, television, friends. But that's not so. And I've said it before, and it's one of those things I'm going to keep saying. Adults need to understand. Parents need to understand. First people their children are going to imitate, you. They're going to hear what you say. They're going to see what you do. And they're going to remember what you do. They're going to remember. I was talking with a child once, and they remembered something that their parent said, and that they remembered in great detail. And you wouldn't have thought it, in great detail, and formed opinions. Our youngest son watched me in great detail and did what the things that he saw me do or heard other people say that I did, and they weren't lying when they said it. And when the opportunity presented itself, he did the same thing. Did the same thing. He was reeled in and didn't know it. I didn't even know it. I didn't know it. I was doing what I wanted to do that was felt good for me. I wasn't even thinking about putting God into the equation. Listen to how the Amplified puts this. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them inconsistent with your faith. So we have to look for that word in what we're doing. Is this inconsistent with who I am in Christ? To me, the first clue is, if I have to ask myself that question, it probably is in some form or the other. It probably is. And I have to start looking at that and say, this is inconsistent. So what partnership have right living and right standing with God? What partnership? With iniquity, with lawlessness, or how can light have, it's absolutely impossible to have light and darkness in the room at the same time. It's impossible. And God is saying it should be equally as impossible for us to be hanging out with darkness, doing what they're doing. I think I need to put a qualifier there. We're not talking about going and letting our light shine like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. We're not talking about that. We're talking about going and doing what they're doing. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about going there and being converted from light into dark. That's what we're talking about. And God's saying, you can't have that kind of partnership with the enemy. There's no harmony between Christ and the devil. There's no harmony between a believer and an unbeliever. There's no agreement between the temple of God and idols. No agreement. So God says, come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourself from them, says the Lord. Touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. And we have to understand that. If we want to be treated kindly, if we want to have the favor of God, we have to be clearly distinguished from all that is evil. And it's really not hard to do when you think about it. Jesus said in Ephesians that he's looking to present a glorious church. And then he gives a descriptor as to what a glorious church is. How many remember what a glorious church is? One without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He said one that is perfect. He said, we can't be perfect. Really? then that means he's never going to find his church. Because if, you know, when Christ comes, we'll all be perfected. No, he's not going to come for you if he doesn't find you perfect. He said he's looking for a church that's perfect. That means he's looking for a people who are not sinning. I mean, that's all that means. They have no spot, no wrinkle. If you're not sinning, guess what you're going to be void of? Spots and wrinkles and any such thing. And the reason you won't be sinning is because you will have become holy. And it's impossible for a holy being to sin. Because in order to sin, you have to step away from your holiness. And we do that sometimes, too many times. I mean, we're not smart enough to consciously say, okay, Lord, you stay right here. Like, okay, Lord, I'm taking off my holiness because I have to teach them a lesson. And there's some things they need to understand about me. So I'm going to leave my holiness here and I'm going to deal with them. And then when I finish, then I'll come back and I'll get my robe of righteousness and I'll put it back on. And now I'm holy again. Yeah. Then I'll go back and lay hands and help them recover. Okay. No, but that's what we have to do. We can't tell someone off. There's no way to be holy and tell someone off. There's no way to do it. But yet we'll do it all the time. I'm righteously indignant. No, you were sinning. That's what you were doing. You were sinning. You don't know what they did. Doesn't matter what they did. Because if you're holy, the only response is love and forgiveness. Period. But you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. You don't know how it made me feel. Should have made you feel like a minister of reconciliation. That's who you are. Should have caused some words of reconciliation to come out of your mouth. Not those other words that you were surprised were in there. The devil didn't put those words in my mouth. No. You put them in your mouth and didn't realize you were putting them in your mouth, and they just stayed right there in your tongue waiting for the opportunity for you to release them. And when the time was right, all the devil did was say, release. And you're like, yeah. Okay. And they came flying out of your mouth. Excuse me, but I figure it'd be better not to trip and fall. Okay. But we have to understand that. So that's why Paul said, no, come out from among them. Don't stay there. Because what happens if you take, I don't want to make you hungry, but okay, but you take some chicken. Okay, and then he goes and makes us hungry, right? you don't just take a raw chicken. You take it, you wash it off, and throw it in the oven and cook it. I mean, you can, but like, what's the point? No, you make a marinade, and you plop that chicken in there. If you like me, you jab it sometime with a fork so it's like it could just, all the juice can. But see, then you don't just put it in a bag. No. You put it in one of those vacuum bags where you suck the air out of the bag so the marinade gets pulled right in into the meat. And then you just leave it there. Put it in the refrigerator. And you have to have patience, because it'll be good in the morning, But 2 days later, it'd be even better. The longer it marinates, the stronger the flavor of that marinade is going to be in it. And doesn't just work with chicken. Well, one of the reasons God said, come out from among them, and really, he could have really said, now, okay? Because the longer you stay, you're going to take on the characteristics of the world. And the whole flavor of the world will be in you. And the people will taste and see that the world is good. And that's not what God needs from his people. And the only way that can happen is if we just come out from among them and be separate from them. But they're doing this. So what? You are not. Yeah, come on, everybody's doing it. Oh, really? So that means I need to blot your name out of my book? No, don't do that. Oh, so then you're not doing it. Be separate. And stay separate. Stay separate. You got to remove all ties. Well, didn't Jesus say in the parable of the sower that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things entering in into what? Entering into God's perfect equation chokes the word. Chokes it. And you become unfruitful. And you're wondering, what happened? You didn't come out from among them and be separate. And then stay separate. And you were touching that which is unclean. Touching. Well, there's a reason why we do the things that we do. There's a reason why, honey, would you just... I take any opportunity to hug my wife. There's a reason why I hug members like this. Not like this. Okay. There's a reason. Thank you. There's a reason for that. So touch not any unclean thing. Not saying that members are unclean. Okay. Not saying that pastors are unclean. But why give an opportunity for the enemy to try and insert a thought in either one that may be unclean? Because what will happen is, remember, he's more subtle. More subtle. All of a sudden now, you'll have this desire for a hug. And you won't know why. You'll think, oh, I just love this person. And next, you know, those hugs will start getting longer. And you'll start feeling different things. And both parties start wondering, what's wrong with you? Okay. And folks have to start backing away and separating themselves from you. And you thought, well, they don't like me anymore. No, it's not that they don't like you. They want you to stay holy, and they want to stay holy. See, there's some things we should never find out. I would love to stand here and say to you, if anyone did something to my wife, I'll forgive them. I'll let them live. Okay? I don't want to find out what will happen if someone physically did something to my wife or one of my children. I don't want to find out what I'll do. So I'll keep them covered with prayer so nothing happens. And I won't have to find out, because I'm not going to stand in front of you and say, I'll be holy. I don't know. And I don't want to know. So I'm serious. That's why when folks say, oh, no, that'll never happen to me. Oh, yeah? Oh, so you're the exception to the scripture. You can lie down with dogs and you won't come up with fleas. Okay, that's what you're saying. Okay, you're the only one in the world that'll have that like that. No, come out from among them. What's the matter with a hug? You don't know. So it's how you hug. That's all. It's how, because the enemy is subtle. He's going, and the minute you think about it, he's going. It's just like you know those valves on the hose where little water comes out. You turn it and the gusher comes out. The minute a little thought comes in, he opens up the valve, and the thoughts just start flooding in. And you're wondering what's happening to me. Touch that which is unclean. And I looked up touch. And of course it means to fasten oneself to, adhere to cling to. Put your hand or finger on to come into contact with. But it also means give a light tap or pat. Gently. It also means come into contact with. A quick stop. That's what it also means. See, God doesn't want you to even make quick stops in Sin City. He doesn't want you to do that. Because all it takes is a little light touch, and now you're infected. Now you're infected. And it's going to fester in you because, first of all, you don't realize it was there. Want a biblical example? God told Abram to go on this journey. Where, God? I'll show you. Well, you'll know when you get there. He didn't say, stay on this road as long as all the conditions are favorable. He said, stay on this road. Famine came. Hey, come on. Everybody knows when there's a famine, you don't stay out there and starve to death. That's just stupid. You go where there is food and provisions. And you look and you see, why am I going to stay here and die when Egypt is right there? But God didn't say, go to Egypt. But you know some things about the customs of the Egyptians. If they like your wife, they're going to kill you so they can take her. But you got to plan again. Tell them you're my sister. Not a full lie. She was a half-sister. But I'm thinking, now wait a minute. This is your wife whom you love. And you don't have a problem with her being taken and ravished by the king as long as you're not killed. I mean, that's okay. I mean, see, we don't think about it in those, but that was the logic. Why? Because you're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about self-preservation. You're not thinking about what God said. You're adding something else to the equation. And so now instead of being separate from them, you are willingly going to join them, putting your wife and your entire company at risk. But you go to Egypt. And God, in his mercy, intervenes, and you leave Egypt with more than you had when you came in, because they were just so glad to get you out of there so that the cursing would stop. But in that something else is a little number called Hagar. Now, no one thought she'd have any significance whatsoever. Became one of Sarah's handmaidens. But then she wound up being used by the enemy. She had no business in the camp. None. But they just did a little stop over in Egypt. Just ventured a little bit in the Sin City. Why? Because they were hungry? Because they had food? You had a word from the creator of the universe. And you said, like your predecessor Adam and Eve, that wasn't good enough. So you had to add something else to the equation. And instead of being separate, you joined in. Joined in. Put the entire Middle East in crisis for centuries. From the time Ishmael was sent out to today, we're paying the price because they touched the unclean thing and didn't realize it would have seemingly eternal consequences. Just a touch. Hey, David had a right to walk around on his own balcony. I mean, come on, is it his fault that this woman decided to bathe publicly? I mean, after all, I got a right to look out at the horizon. She shouldn't have been there. No, you shouldn't have been there. Because the Bible clearly states this was the time where the kings went out to war. Didn't say this is the time when the kings sat home and sent their armies out. No, the kings went out. If he was out, he wouldn't have been there. Wouldn't have been there. Oh, well, what's a harmless look? Well, see, I can notice something. Because just with a quick lens, I can notice something out of the corner of my eye. I can notice things from peripheral vision. But to see it, I have to slowly, I turned and look and observe some things. Now I don't just see something moving. I see someone is taking a bath, and I see he's a she. And I don't turn. Now I see she be beautiful. Different process. I have a choice each step of the way. But if I keep inserting myself and I don't walk away from this thing and be separate from it, I get hooked. David, according to God, was a man after his heart. Yet he got caught up. So now, if a man after God's own heart can get caught up, what about those of us who are still developing being after God's own heart? How much more vulnerable will we be if we don't come out from among them and be separate? If God says go to war, come out from among the civilians and go to war. Be separate. And in that case, if you don't go, anything you touch while you're still home is unclean. Why? You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to be at war. And the only clean thing for you is the handle of your sword or your bow or your javelin, whatever weapon it was that you used for war. That's all you needed to touch, unless it was the spoils that God told you to pick up after. But if you stay home, anything you touch home is unclean. Ooh. That one stung, boy. Just like when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, anything else you do is unclean as far as God is concerned because you're in disobedience. If he tells you to say something to someone and you don't say it, anything else you say is unclean because it's not what God told you. You're in disobedience. And it's not going to produce the results because you've changed the process. Things, but it's the truth. He said, touch not any unclean thing, then I will receive you. Then I will receive you. That's why our plans don't work. Because they're our plans. They're not his plans. So as far as God is concerned, they're unclean. How can he bless it? If he blesses your plans that are contrary to his, he might as well bless everybody that goes out and commits adultery and fornication and every other sin that's out there. Because there's no different. They're all unclean. So if he blesses one unclean thing, he might as well bless all of them. He's smart enough to know that. I mean, the guy thinks he's God, okay? So he's not going to bless anything that's unclean. And he doesn't care who it is. Aaron, the high priest, lost his life. Why? He wouldn't act like high priest. And God had enough. When he didn't speak to Moses and said, Moses, I know you're upset. God said, speak to the rock. God did not say, strike the rock. And he certainly didn't say to speak harshly to the people. Aaron didn't say that. He had every right and responsibility as the high priest to remind the leader what thus said the Lord. And God's position was, okay, we have the golden calf. we have him murmuring. God said, all these things, that he the high priest? Oh, no, he's got to go. He's got to go. Take off all his priestly garments. Put them on his children. As Pastor Ed says, he's toast. That's it. God, no, I can't use him. He won't step away and be separate. He won't stay in the office high priest. He won't keep acting as high priest. He's got to go. He's got to go. If I refuse to act like pastor, and keep refusing to act like pastor, why does God need me here? I'd have to go. I'd have to go. That's why God said, touch not any unclean thing, then I'll receive you kindly and treat you with favor. But if you're touching unclean things and you're not coming out and being separate, guess what you're not going to receive? The favor of God. Because God's love is unconditional. And we have to understand it. His love, there isn't anything that you can do that'll ever cause God to stop loving you. Nothing. But his favor and his blessings have conditions. They're prerequisites. And if you want them, you have to pay attention to them. Look what he said in 1 Peter 1, verse 15. The New International Version said, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. In all you do. The New American Standard Bible says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. God's Word translation says, because the God who called you is holy, you must be holy in every aspect of your life. And the Weymouth New Testament says, but in imitation of the Holy One. That means in your acting like God, who has called you, you must be, you also must be holy in all your habits of life. All your habits. If you have a habit for speeding, not being holy. You're not being holy. If you have a habit for gossiping, not being holy. Not being holy. If you have a habit for overeating, not being holy. Not being holy. Here's what the Message Bible says of 2 Corinthians. Because remember, he's saying, he didn't say, I'll make you holy. He said, you be holy. That means a couple of things, folks. And you can put them in whatever order you like. One of those things is that you have to choose it. You have to make a choice to be holy. The other part, the other thing I want you to understand is you have the ability to do it. Because God wouldn't say to you, be holy, if it were impossible for you to be holy. So that means we must have the ability to be holy people. Otherwise, God wouldn't have said it. He would have had to say, I will make you holy. But he said, I'm holy, be holy. And the only correct response is, yes, sir. And then we be holy. In everything. So look at 2 Corinthians 6, Message Bible. Beginning of verse 14. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership. That's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us, a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them, move into them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. So, leave the corruption and compromise. Leave the corruption and the compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't, listen to it carefully, closely. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. God says, I want you all for myself. That means, well, that's why Jesus said, he who loves mother and father, sister and brother more than me is not worthy of me. Because that means you're willing to fill yourself with something other than God. And God is like, I'm not having it. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The words of the Master God. Folks, God is not playing. At least he's not playing with us anymore. He's not. He means it when he says to us, come out from among them, be separate, touch not any unclean thing, no matter how popular it may be. playing those video games where you're killing everything in sight, as far as God concerned, is unclean. You need to understand that. World calls it entertainment. God calls it unclean. Why? Where's the light? Where's the light? Why are you fellowshipping with mayhem and murder? Why are you doing that? We have to ask ourselves those questions. Why are we doing that? And we wonder why folks appear to be desensitized. I'll tell you something. It's not an appearance. They are. They are. What is the purpose for taking children to an area and letting them play laser tag or paintball? What's the purpose? It's fun. You get shot in the head. That's fun. It's only a paintball. And no, but they're not supposed to shoot you in the head. They're supposed to shoot you in the chest. What's the purpose? That's as idiotic as what the Pennsylvania Wildlife Department said to me concerning the deer on the property. This is idiotic. Those of you that don't know, I called them when we first moved up here, and I said, it's overrun with deer. And they said, well, what do you want us to do? I said, well, can't you come and dart them and relocate them? Because we have a wildlife guy that he would come and he would dart the groundhogs and take them 30 miles and release them. So I said, dart deer and relocate them. And I know it's possible because one guy did it, was willing to do it, but he wanted if he did 12 deer, it was about $1,800, $1,900 he wanted to come and dart the deer and take him away. And I'm like, well, if he could do this, wildlife can do it. And they said, oh, no, sir, we can't do that. I'm like, why not? They said they could die. So what do you mean they could die? He said, well, we don't know the weight of the deer, and if we dart them, and if we use too much of the drug, they'll die. And I'm like, well, I don't want to kill them. I don't want them to die, so what should I do? Hunt them. I said to him, I said, won't they be just as dead? Okay. That's what they said. Can't dart them because they might die, so hunt them. Okay. But that's the same logic. Same logic. Send the children out. Right after that atrocity in Connecticut, I'm talking to my grandson, and he'd tell me, oh, I went to a birthday party. It was fun. I said, oh, I'm glad you had a good time. What did you do? We did laser tag. I'm like, I'm going to start asking, what did you do before I say, oh, great, you had a good time. I'm glad you had a good time. He said, it was great. We had smoke bombs and everything. I'm like, oh, that's just great. That's just great. Now, you not only teach them how to stalk and kill, you teach them how to do it through gas and clouds and things. Now, what? Desensitize. Desensitize. If you can do it with a laser gun that makes noise, you can do it with a real gun that makes noise. And blood doesn't mean anything. Because you have these video games that are so graphic, they look like the real thing. And so, oh, Mr. Carr, I know you used to do that. But yeah, I did. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. But I can't do it now. And it's not so much that I don't want to. My body can't take it. I can't see people get ripped to shreds anymore. For some reason, it just doesn't seem like fun anymore. See someone and see that see a person's enthralls hanging all out. And then how can you watch that and it's a bad guy and you said, good, that's what he deserves. Excuse me? Touch not any unclean thing. We don't look at it that way. Well, you know, it's like, you know, it's a fly fishing. Got one. Just wheel that one in. Get you and just put the thing right back out there, different lure. But you say, what are they biting today? Oh, today, oh, it's music. Okay, put them out there. Oh, it's movies. Okay, put them out there. Whatever it is, he's going to find out. He's going to put it out there. And God is expecting his people to be over there so that everybody can see, yeah, a whole lot of people that are not a part of this thing. I wonder why. Instead of sitting shoulder to shoulder with them, enjoying the same thing. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will receive you. I will treat you kindly. But if you don't come out, God isn't going to come and pick up everybody and just start sifting. You know, he doesn't have this people sifter where only the Christians flip through. No, he'd look and he'd say, oh, there's one over there. Okay, let me send my favor right over here and take care of this one. He knows there are others out there in the crowd. But since you chose the crowd, he's going to respect your choice. Just like he respected Adam and Eve's choice to insert themselves into his equation. His equation never included self. It was man filled with him. That's it. Man decided they wanted to put other things in there. I want to say something else. I'm not going to say it because it's my opinion. And I'm not going to give you my opinion. But I will say it this way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When God looked and saw that it was not good for man to be alone, he didn't say, I'll send them to ChristianSingles.com. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'll get them active on a social network. He did. What he did was he took the man and he gave the man a task so the man could be focused on doing what God said. Then he went over and he took from the man and he customized that man's mate. And then he presented the woman to the man. God presented it. He didn't need any help. The woman did not have to go running, looking behind every nook and cranny for the man. And Adam didn't have to go and visit all the spots in the garden, hoping to find that right one. He had the right mindset. There was no one, as far as he was concerned. There was no one but God. And God decided this is the perfect match for this man. Now, society has another way of doing this. You need to step away from it and be separate. Because that's not God's plan. It just came out in the newspapers. Someone that won a date on a dating game 20 years ago was a serial killer. At the time he was on the game show. Serial killer. But we wind up in these relationships unequally yoked, and we don't understand why. You did all the right things, according to the world. Left one little thing out of the equation. Didn't consider Jeremiah 29:11. The one who has the purpose and plan for your life also has the mate, if that is part of the plan for your life. It may not be. If you're young, you're thinking, oh no, I want to get married. You don't want to get married if God doesn't want you married. Because your marriage will not be heaven on earth. It'll be the exact opposite. But God could get a hold of it and he could change it. Yes, he can. You have to ask yourself, what price are you willing to pay while that process takes place? Come out from among them and be separate. And stop touching unclean things.